Thank you. Wow, I'm already on. That's good. If you'll open your Bibles in the book of Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4. It's a joy to be able to be here. It's a joy to be able to have my wife with me. I do pray that you pray for her. She's had some battle with some health problems. And also pray for my granddaughter, Mia. She was in the hospital yesterday, and she's out today, and I'm glad that she's doing a little bit better. Mark chapter 4, we'll start with verse 35. In Mexico, we have a custom of standing when we read the Word of God, so let's do that this morning. If you can stand, and I cannot find my place because I'm in Matthew. It's Mark, Mark chapter 4. There we go. Mark chapter 4, I'll read verses 35 through 41. The same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for the blessing of being here at Heritage Baptist Church. Thank you for Brother and Mrs. Crawford. And thank you for the support that the church has given us throughout the years. And we thank you, Lord, that we're able to represent them in Mexico. And now, Lord, I pray that we would be a blessing to them. That your word would go out and touch hearts. If there's anyone here that does not know Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day of salvation for them. And Lord, if you would please to call someone into the ministry, if you would touch our hearts to get more involved in missions, then so be it and help us to give you the glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray and we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. In Mexico, when someone in the United States, in Mexico is coming to the United States or going to the United States from there, they will say often, vamos al otro lado. We're going to the other side. They will not even mention the United States. When they say that little phrase, vamos al otro lado, everybody starts telling them, well, buy me this while you're there, and if you're going near the mall, go to this place and buy me this. So you hardly ever tell anybody that you're coming to the border. But it's amazing how Jesus says in verse 35, let us pass over unto the other side. And really, missions is exactly that, going to the other side with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It might be across the street here in Hazlitt. It might be across the state. It might be in Mexico or across the sea. But missions is going to the other side. Now, I want you to notice five different groups of people that are involved in missions. And the first person that's involved in mission is God who sends us to the other side. When Jesus said, let us pass over unto the other side, it wasn't him sending us by ourselves, but he goes with us. He is with us in the ship. And I'm so glad of that, because when you obey God, there will be some storms arise. Some might think this is a bad storm, but this isn't a bad storm, folks. Some people will think, rain is a bad storm. And like Brother Henderson said, when it started thundering and raining, he said, well, there goes another 50 that aren't going to be in church services tonight, this morning. But going to the other side, God sends us to the other side. He sends us to the other side linguistically. You have to learn another language. He sends us to the other side culturally. You have to learn their culture. Be aware of some of the things that might offend them. For example, You never snap your fingers at a person in Mexico. We do that a lot here in America. But in Mexico, if you snap your fingers at a person, they're thinking that you're treating them like a dog. And so you don't do that. And I remember one time my wife got mad at some kids and she said, "Get on the ball there." And boy, don't you dare snap your finger at my child. You know, so you got to learn their culture too. When you go to the other side, you go to the other side economically. You go to the other side spiritually. And this is what Jesus is going to do. And when he's going to the other side of the Sea of Gadara, Galilee, to the area of Gadara, he is going to meet an unsaved man that needs Jesus Christ. So as you go to the other side, remember that God is the one that's involved in mission. He is the one that sends us to the other side. But then the devil is also involved in missions. If you'll go to chapter 5, first of all, I want you to notice in verse 35 of chapter 4, it says, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And then in chapter 5 and verse 1, "And they came over to the other side, unto the other side." You see, when God sends us someplace, he'll get us to that place. And rest assured that if God wants you to do something, there will be some storms arise, but he's with us. And there will be some times of pressure and things that you don't know what's going to happen. But if you will do what God wants you to do, God is always with us, and God will get us to where he wants us to get. And so God is involved in missions. But then I want you to notice that the devil is also involved in missions. Look in Mark chapter 5 and verse 2. "And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." Now, the devil is mentioned in this chapter, and really he's mentioned as a person that demons can possess a man without Jesus Christ. And I find several things about the devil here. First of all, the devil can possess other people. Look in verse 9 of chapter 5. "And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.'" Now, in Mexico, it's been our opportunity to see several people demon-possessed. I believe that there are people that are demon-possessed that we don't recognize them as demon-possessed today. I believe that somebody can be demon-possessed and be highly intelligent, but highly intelligent against God's word, against God's work, against God's will. And don't always think that someone has to be babbling and super strength to be demon-possessed. When we were in Mexico about 2 or 3 terms ago, a woman told us about her daughter that was demon-possessed and wanted us to see her. So the national pastor and I, we prayed, we fasted several days, and then we went to visit this young lady. And when we went to visit this young lady, she seemed like a frail young person of about 25 years old. And we started talking to her about Christ. We started talking to her about the gospel. We witnessed to her about what sin is, and you had to repent from sin. And when we mentioned that Jesus Christ was the Savior, she said, "Yes, Jesus is the Savior." And knowing the Catholic traditions that they accept Jesus as a Savior, but they also say that Mary is a Savior, that your good works will save you, that baptism will save you. So I said, "That means that Mary cannot save you." And immediately she attacked us, and she threw alcohol at us, and she scratched at us, and it took 4 or 5 of us to control her. And when she finally calmed down again, I again started witnessing to her, and started with the first thing: "You are a sinner." And she would admit she's a sinner. She would admit that, but she would not admit that Jesus Christ was the only Savior. And after 2 or 3 times of attempting this, we were about to leave when a Pentecostal preacher got there. And a Pentecostal preacher got there and he said, "Oh, you Baptists, problem with you Baptists, you don't know how to do this." I said, "Have at it." I stepped back and he started talking to her, and he used a lot of psychology, and he said, you're stressed, but Jesus can relieve your stress and all this." And then he started talking, and he laid her down on the ground, and she was peaceful. And he said, "See,
She's peaceful now. She has been healed from her demons. And I said to her, ma'am, could you look at me? And she would look at me. She had that faraway look as if she was looking through me. I just about looked back to see what she was looking at. And I said, sir, she's not healed. He said, you Baptist, you won't believe anything until you see it. I said, sir, I'm seeing it. She's not healed. I've seen demon-possessed people before, and she's not healed. He said, I said to him, if you will just stand her up, I'll prove to you that she's not healed. He said, oh, you Baptist. And so he gently picked her up. He and his wife picked her up. And then I said, ma'am, is Jesus Christ the Savior? And she said, yes. And I stepped back. And I said, that means Mary cannot save. And she immediately attacked the Pentecostal preacher. I mean, she got onto him with her claws. And again, four or five of us took her off of him. And he got all flustered and he said, well, God's begun a good work in you and he'll finish it. Let's go, honey. And he and his wife left. And I told the mother of this girl, I said, that guy's a charlatan. That guy is a liar. And the reason that this young woman was not healed is because she did not want to be healed. And you'll see that in this demon-possessed man. But I want you to note that the devil is very involved in missions. The devil knows Jesus. Look in verse 7. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. You see, the demons do recognize Jesus. And Jesus Christ is believed by the demons. James 1:2:19 says, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Folks, it's not just believing in God that will save you. You have to come to the point to realize that Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you. The devil is defeatable. The reason that this young lady that I gave you the example of in Mexico was not healed is because she did not want to get healed. But the devil is defeatable. By the way, God did not commission us to go out and cast out demons. He did commission us to preach the gospel. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. And the gospel does save even demon-possessed people if they will trust Him as their Savior. If you will read verses 10 to 13, I won't take time to read them right now. We'll read them later. You will find out that these demons had to obey Christ and they left the woman, went into that herd of swine, and they all were choked in the sea. Now, you and I, as a church, have a power to defeat the devil and the demons also. The Bible says in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church must keep on going, attacking the devil. And how do you attack the devil? By sending the gospel throughout the world and telling others of Jesus Christ. The devil's stronghold are lost people. And we must attack the devil's stronghold by winning the lost for Jesus Christ. So the devil cannot stand against the church's onslaught if we go in the power of Jesus Christ with the Word and in His name. That is why the Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Oh, that we might learn to fight the devil just by preaching the gospel. Yes, there are a lot of social issues in this world today, but the greatest armamento, the greatest armor that we have, and the greatest attack system that we have is not going against the social issues of this world. It's going against the world with the Word of God. Because God's Word is the one that touches hearts. So we have the Lord involved in missions. He's the one that says, let's go to the other side. We have the devil involved in missions, trying to prevent the gospel to get to the other side. And then the third person I want you to notice that's involved in missions are those that get saved. Look in verse 3 of Mark chapter 5. And I want you to notice several things about this man. Notice his condition. Spiritually, he was dead, verse 3, who had his dwelling amongst the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains. You see, folks, if you're without Christ, you also are dead. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. You might not be like this man, but you are separated from God. Spiritually, he was without hope. Look at verse 4. Because he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. You see, religion will not tame your sin. Rituals will not tame your condition. Reformation cannot help a man spiritually speaking. These things cannot conquer sin. The only person that can tame you and the only person that can conquer sin is Jesus Christ. That's why the apostle said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The condition of this man is that he was spiritually dead, without hope, and without peace. Look in verse 5. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. The Bible says there is no peace for the wicked. And there is no peace without Jesus Christ. Before you can get saved, you have to recognize your condition before God. Your condition before God is that you're spiritually dead, separated from Him, without peace, without hope. And your only hope is Jesus Christ. Now I want you to notice His call. We noticed His condition, now notice His call in verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped Him. The difference between this demon-possessed man and the demon-possessed lady that I talked to you about is that this man really wanted to be saved. He really wanted to be free from the demons that tormented him. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Today, you might be here and you might not be saved. And you might think in your mind, I'll get saved tomorrow. I'll get saved another day. You do not have that promise. You have only the promise of now, today, right now. I remember a young man in my dad's first church in Mexico. He told my dad, I'm going to go home, but I'm coming back tonight, and tonight I want to get saved. My dad urged him to get saved that day, that morning. But he said, no, I've got some things to take care of, and then I'll get saved. The devil tricked him because he left and never came back. The next morning, on Monday morning, my dad saw his picture in the paper. He had died in an automobile accident. A very weird accident. And the thing about it is that he had plans to get saved. He wanted to get saved. But he did not trust Christ like this man did. He postponed it. And it was to his peril. So you see his condition, his call, and notice his change. Oh, if Jesus comes in, there is a change in your life. Look in verse 15. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting. He had it past tense, and now he was sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You see, he was sitting. He was at peace. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He was at peace. He was not running around anymore. He was sanctified. He had a changed life. He was sitting and he was clothed. Before, he was running around naked, yelling and screaming. And now he was a different person. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. I'm so glad that when Jesus Christ comes in, things start changing. Amen? And then he was saying, the Bible says he was in his right mind. You might be smart without Christ, but you're not in your right mind without him. When someone gets saved on the other side, it is part of missions. I like what Dr. Barber says. God wrought it. Jesus bought it. The Holy Spirit brought it. The devil fought it. But praise God, I caught it. Amen? And that's the way salvation is. I'm always happy to talk of those who get saved on the mission field. I think of Mario Perez, a tortilla man. A man that also had photography on the side, and he would take pictures at weddings and things like that. And one day we were going to have a children's play at Christmas, and my camera broke. And I asked the children, do any of you know anybody that has a camera? Because we don't have a camera for tonight. And this little girl said, my daddy has a camera. He's a photographer. So we went to his house, and she said, oh, Daddy, come to church, please. Brother Jones preaches real nice. I even go to sleep when he preaches. Mario started coming to church. I would ask Mario, are you ready for your decision? He said, no, not yet, Pastor. Are you ready? No, not yet. I would ask him time and again when I'd see him at the home, when I'd see him at the grocery store, when I'd see him on the street. And he'd always say, no, not yet, not yet. One day he invited us to his house, and I told my wife, I'm not going to ask him anymore. And we ate, and we were about to leave. He said, Pastor, aren't you going to ask me the question? And I thought, my goodness, he's just going to rub it in again. You know, he's going to say, no, I'm not, but he's going to laugh about it. I said, Mario, are you ready to make your decision? He said, Preacher, that's the reason I called you to my home. I want to get saved today. Right there on his living room floor, we bowed our heads around a coffee table, and he got saved. I think of Juan de Dios Garza, who is pastoring now the main church in Mexico. He was a lead guitar singer in one of the groups that were young and really growing up. They had a tour bus. They had the sound system, everything. And when he got saved, he had long hair. He came to our church on a Sunday morning and got saved. Sunday afternoon, his wife got saved. The next week, we were going to camp. He said, I know a little bit of guitar. Can I go help you with the music? I said, yes. Here's the solicitud. What's that? The registration for camp. And I'm glad I brought my translator. And I said, here's the registration for camp. Take it and read it. If you're in agreement with the rules, sign it and come back and go to camp with it. On one of the rules, it says, if you go with long hair, you're going to come back with short hair. And he took the hint. He came back. He had his hair real nicely cut. He said, is this good enough? I said, that's great. And we went to camp. He got baptized, started serving the Lord. And the Lord has used him in a great way. He told me something about this drug problem today. 15 years ago when he got saved. He said, when the drug war started 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago, he said, I don't know why they're having so much trouble. He says, on the United States side, Texas side, and on the Mexican side, any time I played at the border was only for drug cartel people. My group would go, Los Bronce de Nuevo León, we would go and we would play, and there would be plenty of drugs and money, but there always was a big official. If it was in the United States, sometimes it was a district attorney. Sometimes it was the local sheriff. If it was in Mexico, sometimes it was a judge or a police chief. You see, this thing about the drug war isn't new. He says, and I could take them to every place. And they know it. They know where they are. They don't have the political will to really fight it. They're just trying to keep it at bay, and it's gone out of proportion now. But I'm so glad that God saved him. God saved Doña Mary, an old lady at 87 years old. We started witnessing to her, and she would always pat me on the cheek, and she would say, I'll never be a Baptist. I'll never get saved. One day, she got saved. It took several years, but she got saved. She died while we were on furlough, and her daughter wrote us a letter, and she says, Grandma, because that's the way we called her, Grandma died. She said she didn't wear the medallion of the Pope around her neck anymore, but she had Jesus in her heart. You see, those that get saved are involved in missions. Every person that you saw on the screen that were saved and that were in the different church groups, you've had a part in it. And you might not meet them this side of heaven, but they're part of missions. I want you to notice that also those that reject Christ are a part of missions. Look in verse 13. These people, they lost their swine, 13 and 14. They lost their friend. But then I want you to notice in verse 15, they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You see, folks, lost people aren't so afraid of catastrophe. In fact, most of the time when some catastrophic thing happens, everybody's glued to it. They want to see it. They want to look at it. I was involved in an auto accident which looked like somebody might have been killed in the auto accident, and we weren't hurt. And somebody came up, and the first person on the scene, the first words out of his mouth, "How many dead? How many dead? How many dead?" I said, nobody's dead, but, and I pulled out a track. "But if you had died, where would you have gone?" Somebody must have been witnessing to him. But he said, "Oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't." Ran and got in his car and left. My friend, I wish I could tell you that everybody's been saved in Mexico, but I cannot tell you that. There's been many that have rejected. If you're here today and you do not know Christ, please don't reject Christ. Please receive Him as your Savior. God's involved in missions. The devil's involved in missions. Those that get saved are involved in missions. Those that reject are involved in missions. And then those that are sent are involved in missions. And this is the last verse I want you to see this morning. Look in Mark chapter 5 and verse 18. It says, "And when he was come into the ship," in verse 17, they said, "Jesus, leave," and they pray him to depart out of their coast. "So when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." You see, if you and I were in his shoes, we'd have begged him, "Lord, let me go with you too. I mean, everybody has seen me like a madman." And Jesus said, "No, I want you to go back to those people." The greatest testimony you and I can ever have is where we were a bad testimony at one time, and tell them what God has done in our lives. Those that are sent are also involved in missions. God's involved in missions. The devil's involved in missions. Those that get saved are involved in missions. Those that reject are involved in missions. Those that are sent are involved in missions. The question is, are you involved in missions? Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I do not know the condition of the folks that are here tonight, this morning. But I do know one thing, that you can save the person that is not saved here today. You can bring him from a lost condition to being saved if he'll only trust Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd touch hearts and help us to be involved in missions. In Jesus' name, amen.